Welcome to the World of Women Create podcast series, where we step inside the vibrant, paint-splattered, and high-energy worlds of the artisans and makers from the pages of our magazines, Where Women Create and What Women Create. We'll also meet special guests who are entrepreneurs and experts in their field. From our creative corner to yours, we're inviting you into inspiring conversations with exceptional women. I'm Susan Harold, Editor-in-Chief of Women Create. Join me as we sit down with visionary makers and innovative entrepreneurs to explore the beautiful chaos of the creative life, the trials that test us, the triumphs that fuel us, and the surprising paths that lead to those undeniable creative sparks. Thank you for being a part of our creative world, the world of Women Create. Hello, everyone. Welcome in today. I am very, very excited to be having a conversation today with Lori Siebert. And while she probably needs no introduction to most of you, I want to go ahead and introduce her to you all. Lori Siebert is a product designer, maker, teacher, and mixed media artist. She started her graphic design firm in 1987 and moved into art licensing over 15 years ago. Some of her clients have included Target, Bath & Body Works, Universal Studios, and Nickelodeon, to name a few. She now designs gift and home decor products and also hosts and teaches creative retreats in the U.S. and Europe. She's been featured in Where Women Create and Where Women Create Business, and is currently a curator for Where Women Create article, which we'll get into in a bit. She's also the co-founder of Art Biz Jam and Art Biz Jam Abundance, which provides helpful business tips and networking opportunities for women artists. Lori, welcome.
Hello, Susan. So all of our interactions over the years have been through email. So I actually get to see your face. This is so fun.
It's crazy, right? I actually had to go back and think, wait, we must have met at some point, but we actually have not. This is our first face-to-face.
I know. I love it.
Thank you for being with us today.
Of course.
Gosh, I mean, just reading through your bio, you have lived like 9 lives in this industry.
Well, but, I've been around for a while. I have a big birthday coming up in June. I get to go on Medicare. Woohoo!
Well, hey, congratulations, right? Well, even aside from the years that you've put in, I just feel like you just keep regrowing and restarting new things. And, you know, you call yourself a creative chameleon in a lot of ways. And I really admire that. I admire how you're able just to sort of put your hand in different things and not be a stagnant artist. So I know that when you first got started, you were doing more graphic design. So tell me a little bit about that start in comparison to where you are now, because I think it was probably a launch pad, if I'm guessing correctly. But how did that help you get to where you are today?
Well, basically, I started art lessons when I was 7. So my whole life I was painting, drawing, and my favorite thing was making things. But when it came time to pick a career and go to college, my counselor in high school kind of steered me towards graphic design because felt like that was a viable profession and way to make money as an artist. And then I spent a day with a woman. My dad worked for Mead Containers, and I spent a day with their graphic designer and felt like that was maybe a way to go. And it ended up being a really good choice because the program I went through, which my daughter also went through the same program at University of Cincinnati, really taught problem solving. And I think that basis can be applied to anything that you want to put your mind towards, which is a good thing because I call myself a chameleon because I'm very, very curious. I always have been, I always will be, and I can't stick to one thing. So pretty much every 7 years, much to my husband's chagrin, who is my business partner, I made some kind of change in the business. We went from doing a lot of business to business branding and things like that to then working with some of the clients you mentioned that were more retail based. And then along the way, I found out about art licensing and went to a trade show and got an agent and was with an agent for close to 15 years. And I've actually been doing licensing for closer to 20 years now. And my daughter does as well. I pared down when I left my agent a few years ago, and I pared down my client roster in licensing, but I'm still doing that as well, again in the gift and home decor arena. And I love it, but I've since kind of moved into other areas like teaching and hosting and creating retreats, which I absolutely love.
Is that kind of like your current passion, would you say? Really teaching what you know? Because honestly, if you look back, all of those steps you made, starting with sort of that more practical background, in education, wouldn't have been possible to have that confidence in. And change is growth. All of that change you did and all that growth is you just redefining where you want your business to be, where you want your hobbies to be, your business, all of it together. So the fact that it kind of has ended up in this place of teaching really doesn't surprise me because I feel like you have a lot to share.
Well, it's interesting, and I actually do a podcast called Rebloom, and we talk with people about how they circled towards something in their lives that was more joyful and authentic. And I see a pattern where so many times what people started out loving as a child, they pick up seeds along the way that maybe are in different areas, but then they end up coming back and pulling all of that knowledge and experience together and put it towards something that they really love. And I can't say that when I started the teaching route, I really was very selfishly motivated initially because I wanted to travel and I wanted to get my way paid for.
Hey, I
So
love it.
and my husband's not really big on travel, especially out of the country, although I've convinced him to do more of it lately. So I thought, well, that's one way to do it. So I didn't know that I would want to teach, actually. So I started out in my garage. I hosted a little mini retreat in my garage with some friends and tried it out. And then I hosted my own retreat at a place called Richwood on the River, which is about an hour from me. And, I had to try it out and try it on for size to see how I felt about the teaching piece, because teaching was a little bit overwhelming to me, I guess. Or I felt like when you call yourself a teacher, you have to be an expert. And I feel like I'm kind of this jack of all trades, master of none. So I kind of
There's this
ref
expectation you feel, right? As
well,
a teacher, quote unquote.
yeah. And the very first retreat at Richwood, I don't know if you're familiar with April Cornell, but she was one of my attendees. And oh my God, she's amazing. And I thought, okay, here I am teaching April Cornell. So I reframed it in my mind and I thought, okay, I'm going to be a fun facilitator. And that is really what the retreats end up being. I've been really, really surprised, and I shouldn't have been, but the connections, because I mostly have women come to my retreats, and because of my age, I have a lot of women that are retired or widowed or just wanting to give themselves a gift because they've been caring for and nurturing other people their whole lives. And they're creative and they want to explore that some if they've never had the opportunity to do that before. So it's really amazing to watch the bonds that are made like
Oh,
within a
sure.
week-long retreat. I have so many ongoing WhatsApp threads with all the retreat groups because they want to stay in touch. And it's really cool because I go in and they're cheering each other on and sharing their successes, sharing their challenges. So it's a gift that I didn't realize. I wanted the travel, but the gifts are much more precious and deep, and the communities are just pretty profoundly amazing.
Well, and not just anyone can do that, Lori. I mean, you have, as the fun facilitator, as you call yourself, you exude fun, but you have this way of making people feel really comfortable, I think. And creatives, It's one of those types of jobs where you really do have to have connection. Like you picture yourself creating and you think you're by yourself and you're just painting or you're sculpting or you're doing your craft. But the reality is that all of what comes into that moment has started with an inspiration of some kind. And that inspiration it can be nature, but quite often it's other creatives, it's someone supporting you, it's hearing someone else's story, and that gives you the confidence to feel like, okay, now I can do this too. I might want to draw florals, and so many people are drawing florals, but that's okay. I'll do my florals or my birds. And I do think that you have this way of exuding, you can do it with people. And I think that's why, even though you call yourself a fun facilitator, I'm still thinking you're a teacher.
Well, I think that also comes from that whole curiosity piece. I think that's always what I've led with. And I just love watching how people's brains work. And so when I'm sharing a technique or whatever, what I love to see is how each person in the room interprets it in their own way. And I really encourage that. Because I learn from everybody. I'll see something that someone did with a material or a supply that I brought that I hadn't thought to use it that way. So I'm learning along with everyone else. And what I really try to encourage, because, well, one thing, I don't allow anybody to say I'm not an artist, because I could say I'm not a saxophone player, but if I really had a passion to do that and I wanted to put in the time and the practice and the learning, I could become that. And I think people believe that you're either an artist or you're not. And I don't believe that. I believe everybody has a creative spirit, and it's just finding that area of passion and then, putting a little water on it and nurturing it and watch that blossom. And I absolutely love that. I love doing it with my grandkids. I did that when my kids were growing up. I'm really a little kid at heart, I guess. And so I like to bring people back to that state of mind when you're not afraid to just play and explore and just, try some new supplies and see what you click with and what gets you excited, and then pursue that.
Like that wild curiosity that we all had as kids.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I think you just wrapped up a retreat recently. Dionne Woods was there.
Right, she
So
was.
do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Well, actually, I'll give you my roster from the year so far. This is the
Okay.
year of saying yes. So I've already taught this year in Mexico City, in Dublin, in Provence, and then I just did the Rebloom retreat where Dion was a part of. That was a little bit different. It's more of a retreat slash, I hate the word conference, but a gathering of women. And for that, we have multiple speakers. So it's not just me teaching, and I do teach a creative session, and we had another creative session. So it's a mix of kind of inspiring women to just go for their goals and get out of their own way and share what's blocking them and, just reinvigorate them and hopefully send them away with a passion to just be their best, most joyful, authentic self.
Yeah, I think that one is defined as a wellness and a maker retreat, right? So a lot of times those
Correct.
two things have to go hand in hand. You sort of have
Right.
to let go of your inhibitions and find that creativity and curiosity like we were just talking about before you can put a paintbrush to palette or, before you can really get there.
Exactly. So that's why on my retreats I play music. There's dance breaks. There's a lot of laughter.
I love it.
We go outside and draw. We draw blind contour. So, like, there's a lot of, I like to take the pressure off that it doesn't have to be a final masterpiece in anything that we're working on. It's more about exploration and trying out techniques or supplies that you've maybe not tried before, and just see what you really love and what you gravitate towards. And then when you go back home, maybe you explore that further.
Right. It's sort of like you said, planting that seed, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
One thing you were mentioning earlier was sort of this shift that you made from the have to's to the want to's, right? So I think when we're all starting out, especially like you said, after college, graduation, that type of thing, you're sort of given these lists of have to's that this is what I have to do to be successful. And I think obviously a lot of the want to's come more with age and experience and really defining what it is that you love and enjoy. But what would you say to someone who's maybe kind of stuck in that have to want to place? Like, what's the best way to sort of make that journey over to the other side?
Well, that's actually something we touch on in the Rebloom retreat, also about how people make that transition. And a lot of people, they maybe have a full-time job because of financial responsibility, but they're trying to steer their career towards something that's more joyful. So a lot of times they start out with doing the more joyful thing on the side of their main job and doing it as more of a hobby, but posting and sharing it and building a community around that, and then they find connections with people that maybe bring that along further until finally financially they're able to maybe not do the full-time job that they had before and move into something that's bringing them more joy and is
Enjoy.
they're more passionate about. So that's the practical way of doing it. I tend to, I guess I do it that way to a degree. So even with the teaching, I was still doing licensing pretty, that was our main breadwinner, but I decided I did want to travel teach probably over 10 years ago. And that's when I did the little garage test and then the one down in Richwood on the river. And then I tried out an international one. I had gone to a retreat in my 50s at a place called Les Sœurs Anglaises in France. And I loved the experience. And so I rented that place and hosted my own retreat there and just kind of have built up my street cred in that area. And so now I'm kind of swapping where I'm doing a little bit less licensing and more of the teaching. And now I'm different companies are have reached out to me. So I'm teaching with a variety of different businesses, but also like private owners of properties that are having artist retreats.
Wow.
So I guess I did take my own advice in a way, because
It's
I
almost
kind
like
of
it snuck
what?
up on you a little bit, right?
Yeah,
Like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, kind of did, I guess.
And just kind of along the same how to want to line, I think a lot of artists have sort of these defining moments in their career where they decide, okay, this is going to be the beginning of my reset or my redirection. And I wonder, did you have, and it might have not have been one specific moment, but did you have any moments or a moment in your career where you thought, okay, it's time. It's time for me to definitely back away from this. And what was that like for you?
Well, that for the most recent one, I've had a couple of those, but the most recent one was around 2020, 2021. There was a series of things that happened. I lost both parents. I lost my dog. We sold our studio building of 30 years and had to get out in 3 weeks' time. I turned 60, and with all of that in my mind, you start doing the math, and I started thinking, if I'm going to live the life that I really want to live and do all the things that I've had on my dream list forever, now's the time. And so I've been saying yes to a lot of things that have always been on my bucket list, travel being one of them. So this year is heavy travel. Almost every month I'm going somewhere. Next year I'm going to back off a little bit as at my husband's request. But I might travel with him, so I might replace, the travel teaching with traveling with my husband and some friends that are now retired.
More of a personal travel, yeah.
But yeah, it's life is always this ongoing reset and rebloom and
For
like
sure.
all along. And when you find yourself at a point where things just aren't feeling quite right, or you're not jazzed about what you're doing, then I did years ago when that happened. I started doing the morning pages, the Julia Cameron and Artist's Way. And that was really revealing because I wrote 3 pages every morning, stream of consciousness. And it's almost like being your own therapist. You know, all this stuff comes up, good and bad, that steer
When
you
you're forced
toward.
to take that time, because so many of us don't. So when you're actually forced to write it down, to take that time, you learn things about yourself, don't you?
And I think that is maybe one piece of advice. So the other time that I wasn't going to go into deeply, but years ago when I came to a point like that, I did have a leadership coach at the time, and she had me kind of break down my life into all the pillars: your family, your friends, your faith, your home, you know, all the things that make a life, and write down where you are today, and then write down what your vision is for each area. And then she kind of helped walk me through setting goals for each of those pillars. And we did an exercise like that at Rebloom, actually. We had people kind of do this mind mapping of all the things that are calling them, all the things that they need to let go of that are no longer serving them. And then maybe picking the top one or two goals that are just screaming at you that you don't want to die before you do those things, and then kind of make a plan for making them happen.
Then sometimes it's a little intimidating to think about some of those long-term plans, but it sounds like she was instructing you to sort of just chip away at it, like a little by little, right? So you see it over here, this is a long-term goal, and I'm just going to do a little something each year or even each month to sort of work my way over there.
And I think it happens to all of us. Like my daughter, she's 37. And she right now, I think, is going through, I told her it's like looking like in a mirror, because it was right around that time in my 30s where I started questioning what I was doing, and is this where I want to be? And I felt like I was a little bit on a treadmill. And so, you know, I'm kind of encouraging her to take a step back and take stock and think about what are those things that you've always dreamt of doing. And her answer initially, when we were on a retreat recently, she came back one evening. I didn't go to dinner and she did, and she came back and she's like, "I have a new life plan. I'm going to open a bookstore." And I'm like, "Well, maybe you should work at a bookstore first and see." So I always think it's wise to like put your toe in the water on something that
Yes,
you really
that's
are
very good
interested in.
advice. Yes.
And you know, sometimes maybe you're dreaming about it, but then maybe the reality isn't what you thought. So it's always good
Right.
to figure out, okay, how can I just try this out and see how it fits? And then if I want to go further, then I can do that.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. And it is true. You sort of glamorized, the idea of these dreams sometimes, but you have to really know, what am I going to be getting myself into?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So I know that you work with your daughter. Does she attends the retreats with you, and she works with you in that regard, or what do you guys do together?
Well, we do a lot together, but she actually is still working kind of with us, although she's very autonomous at this point. So she does licensing, but she handles a lot of her own clients. But the thing I'm more excited about is we are teaching together, not on all of the retreats I'm doing, because she has two young ones and can't leave
Two
all the
little boys,
time.
right? Two
Yeah,
little grandsons, yeah.
two grandsons. But we taught in Dublin this year, we taught in Portugal last year, and next year we're teaching together in Greece and Italy.
Wow,
And
amazing.
then she does come with me on when she can on the other retreats. And I have to say, I love teaching either way, but it's extra fun when she's with me.
I bet.
It's just fun because we have similar sense of humor. I think she's funny and fun to be with, and I don't know, we go back in the room at night and giggle, and I love planning things with her because she's very smart and she's very
Oh.
decisive, so it's kind of nice when we have our planning sessions at her favorite coffee shop. So I just love it, and I feel like it's a huge blessing.
Oh, for sure. That's priceless, really, to be able to spend that time together, not just as mother-daughter, but interested in the same passions and inspiring each other. You mentioned your parents had passed. Was your mom artistic or creative? Did you get any of those creative juices from her or your dad?
I think it was one of those skip a generation or two kind of
Okay.
things, because my mom was creative in certain ways, but my dad's an accountant, so he is Mr. Black and White.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I was kind of an oddball in the family. My brother and sister used to say I lived in my own little world.
I love
But
it.
on my dad's side, there's a lot long line of architects, and on my mom's side, like, she had ceramic pieces that were hand painted by someone in her family. There's something creative there.
It's in the bloodline
It's in the
somewhere.
bloodline, and it's I'm making sure to pass it on, because
Yeah, well, it's obvious.
both.
It did not skip a generation with Kenzie.
And both of our kids are actually very creative. Our son is a mechanical engineer, and
Oh,
he's very creative. And then our two grandsons are also very creative, in different ways. And little Holden, who's seven, his mind blows me away the way he thinks. He's a future inventor.
wow.
And he loves coming in my studio, and it's such a mess in here. I'm sitting in it right now, but he loves to just walk around and grab stuff. He's like, "Can I have this? Can I have this?" And then he'll want to make a project with all the stuff that he collected in
Oh
my
yeah, he's on the
studio.
track. He's on
Yep.
track.
Oh, totally. Yep.
Are there any artists that really inspire you now in your work, or are you sort of just in your own space of going your own route?
Oh my gosh, I'm inspired every day by someone new. I'm a constant researcher. I love to research, and I actually do two newsletters a week. One is on Mondays, and it's called Words and Wildflowers. And in that one, I share a floral artist, a hand lettering artist, and then a quote. And that's meant to maybe encourage people to use those prompts or inspiration for journal spreads. And then I do one on Friday that's called Four Fabulous Finds. I think that's what we call it. And I share either things or artists or events or whatever that are inspiring, or I also show some of the upcoming things that I'm doing in the
Okay.
Friday newsletter.
And if someone wants to join your newsletter, they would just go to lauriesiebert.com.
Correct. Yeah.
S-I-E-B-E-R-T.
SIE. Correct. Correct.
Okay, good.
So I like, depending on what I'm into, is who I'm being inspired by, or it could be anything. It could come, like, I taught a class at my grandson's school a week ago called Smart About Art, and I've never really explored Juan Miró before, but I did it on him, about him, and now I'm like, oh, I'm a total fan of Miro now. I've always been more of a Matisse girl or a Paul Klee person. I will say that probably overall, I love art that is maybe a little bit wonky and naive. I love outsider art and children's art, and anything that's just a little bit off is what I am drawn to personally.
And I know you love color too, is that
Oh
right?
my gosh, yeah. Color,
Yeah.
color.
I'm always so inspired by your Instagram because of how cheerful it is. It's very bright. It's almost like a little gift when I go through when I go through, it's like, I don't know, a little piece of sunshine is kind of
Oh.
how I would define it. And I don't want to throw you off your game here, but I have to say, because I'm very into fashion, when I scroll your Instagram, I'm like, she should be doing fashion. I feel
Oh
like
my
you have
gosh.
such an eye for not just color, but color combinations, which I'm sure you know. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but also how you put your looks together. I'm very inspired.
That is so funny you said that, because I love anything textile driven. And I would love to design clothing or at least design fabric for clothing. I've been an ambassador for Gudrun Shedin for several years. It's a Swedish brand, and I love the way that she puts color together. So someday I have this little idea in my head that I'll just get fabrics made on Spoonflower and have tunics or something made for myself. Not really to sell it, because I really don't think I want that to be another business
Like
at
another
this point in
career,
life.
more of
But
a hobby. But Laura, that's how these things start out. And before
I.
you know it, you're at New York Fashion Week with Lori Sievert Designs. Okay,
No.
maybe we'll back off a little
No,
there.
that is a little itch that I would like to scratch, though. I was in a show last year with eight other women. It was called Balance, and I made this weird dress that was all textile sewn and stitched, and I really loved making that piece. So I kind of want to do more. There was more an
More like
art piece that you hang on the wall versus
I can see
wear,
that. I can
but
see that.
I loved that project, so I may have to do more of those
More of
dresses.
those. I love it. It's funny that you say that because it is pretty evident, I would say, in your Instagram. I love looking at what you're wearing and
Now that you mentioned it, I didn't think I'm doing a wearable art retreat this
oh,
fall
there you
in
go. Okay.
October.
You're so good you didn't even know. Well, you knew, but you maybe didn't remember.
Well, it's funny. I was just researching for it right before this. I don't know. I have too many things going on, clearly. But yeah, I'm going back to Glastonbury, Connecticut to my friend Pat's place, which is beautiful. And we're going to do some clay jewelry and
Oh,
some
wow.
painting and stamping on different items of clothing. And then I think it would be super fun to do a little mini runway show of our
Oh, for
looks at the
sure.
end.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because an artist with as many talents as you have, and I'm not trying to embarrass you here, but I just feel like the feeling might be that you'd be this intimidating person because of all these things you know how to do, but you're exactly the opposite of that. You're just this very warm, sharing personality who wants others to be as happy as you are, who wants others to be as inspired, right? And that really comes through.
I think that comes from maybe, I don't know, but I was very, very shy as a kid and got a little bullied here and there. I was very shy and very sweet. And so that combo, sometimes you get beat up on a little bit. So I, like, all through school with my kids, I'm always like, don't you ever, ever be mean to other people. And if other people are being mean to someone, you be the one to step up and say, hey, don't do that. That's not right. So, and maybe it comes from that. I don't know. But it also
Maybe.
comes from that I am just a creativity groupie. I love creativity. I love seeing people's minds at work. I love seeing what people make. And it's just this endless curiosity. And I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, I think when you really, truly, truly love what you do, it's hard not to be happy, to make others happy, because it just emits from you. It's just basically who you are,
Well, and
right?
I hope it just encourages people, because like I've had a couple times in social media where I struggled with, do I share things that are joyful when people are suffering? Because I mean, I have friends that are going through really, really hard things. And like, do I share that? Share joy all the time when that, but then I got people say to me, like, I need this, like, I needed this, I need something joyful today or whatever. So
Right.
I guess
Well,
that's
I
maybe
think
my
navigating
mission.
that is tricky. Yeah, it can be. But I also think it's a lot about how you do it. You're not in their face with, look how great my life is. It's more of a, this makes me happy. Maybe it'll bring you some happiness. I still feel like it's very much a shared experience. And like I said, I feel like it's like a sunshine. Your account, just your Instagram account feels like a breath of fresh air.
Well,
So
I'm
I
a
think
kid
people do
at
look for
heart, totally. I'm a 65-year-old,
it.
5-year-old. I am. I love creative people, and I love being with them, and I love seeing what they make.
I love it. So what's next, Lori? I mean, we've talked about your history. We've talked about travel a lot this year, maybe a little bit less next year. Is there anything else on the horizon that you want to tell our listeners about?
Well, I just finished a mural, a large
Oh, I wanted
mural.
to ask you about the mural. Yes, that was awesome. Tell us about that.
Well, that journey came from I posted a few years ago a mock-up of a barn with my art on it, because I'm in Kentucky, so there are barns everywhere. And I just that was kind of a dream or a thought. And at Richwood on the River, Colleen, the owner, she heard me talking about that once. She said, "Well, I have a silo you can paint." So I painted her silo. And then Pat, my friend who owns the retreat place that I'm going to in the fall, she had a camper that she wanted painted. So I painted that. So then a couple more mural opportunities have come my way. So I just finished one in a shelter in a park near me. And then I'm doing another one this summer. Down the street from me for the Latonia community, which is near where I live. So I love the murals. It's physical work.
I
So
was
I
going to
don't
say, I
know.
saw you climbing up and down that ladder. I saw,
Yeah, I was freaked out by the scaffolding, but by the
yeah, the
end of the
scaffolding.
week, I'm like, I gotta get this done. So I have to go up there. So I did. Yeah, and I
Was like
got.
nervous watching. I'm like, oh boy, that's a lot of stairs
I was
or
being
steps.
really careful. And then the last day was fun because my husband and my daughter came out to help me do like the finishing touches. So that was fun to have them join. And we had so many great volunteers come out and help. And it was fun because, one person would work on a couple of flowers and they would say, "Well, now whenever I come to the park, those are my flowers." And so that was kind of fun.
I love it. And so that is something you're going to continue to work on. You really enjoy that.
Well, I love doing them. I would probably maybe find a way to design them if opportunities come my way, design them and then art direct and maybe not do all the physical, all of it.
Right. Now that it's almost like you have to do it a couple times to really understand how all the pieces come together. And maybe you'll be
Right.
the art director. You can get a little
Exactly.
chair and a little hat
Yeah,
to point.
exactly. So that's one thing. And then next year, I do have next year's going to be Oaxaca, Greece, Italy, and Morocco.
Oh my goodness.
And
Just a little bit of
possibly,
travel. Just a couple places. Nothing big.
possibly some domestic, possibly down at where Richwood on the River, it's right near Madison, Indiana, which is the most adorable Hallmarky town. And it's like an hour for me. And my friend Kara owns a store there, Little Golden Fox, and I would love to maybe teach there. And my friend Billy, who owns this adorable coffee shop down the road from me, I've taught there before. I'd like to teach there a little more. So I'm kind of in my mind sort of switching over from maybe quite not as much international travel and maybe a little more domestic. I'm so grateful that that has come together. Because every time I'm in a place, I sit there and I'm like, am I really here? Am I really in Provence at this coffee shop having this vanilla latte? Like, and sketching?
This
So,
really my life?
yeah,
That's great.
exactly.
Well, let's wrap up with a few easy questions for you, because
Okie
there's just some
doke.
interesting things I'd love to know. So, what's in your ear when you're working? Are you like a playlist person or a podcast person? Or are you quiet?
I usually don't have anything playing because I'm so
In
focused
your
on what
head,
I'm doing.
busy listening to yourself.
Yeah, but I will say, like at my retreat, I don't know why I don't play music when I'm working at home in my studio, but when I'm on retreats, I always have music playing. So I don't know. Maybe I need to play music more. And I do listen to podcasts, but that's more of a car and driving activity.
Same. All right, what about, are you a morning maker or a late night artist?
I am a midday. So my typical day, my daughter makes fun of me because she'll call me in the morning. She's like, "Are you in your morning office?" So normally when I wake up, I'm in bed and I do emails and my Instagram posting and all of that in bed and my Wordle and connections. And then it's time to get up and move to the studio or,
Gotcha.
do other things. But it's usually I'm in the studio usually by 10. And then
Oh, so you must get up pretty early for getting all those emails done by 10.
no, not really. I'm just fast.
Okay, good. And what about, is there a book you're reading right now or a TV show that you're binging that we should know about?
Oh gosh. I just watched The Rooster with Steve Carell.
Heard of that. How did you like it?
I have a crush on Steve Carell. I love funny men, so I loved it. I thought the characters were so charming. And yeah, I would love to watch the new Shrinking season, but we don't, I think that's on Apple and we don't get that. So I need to figure out how I can
Yeah,
watch
you need to
that.
figure that one out because it's
Yeah,
excellent.
I know. That's what I've heard.
I just finished that, but it's funny. I had Rooster on my list next, so we'll have to swap.
Yeah, it was really good.
I just want to thank you so much for, I know, as busy as you are, for spending this time with us here today and having our listeners get to know you on a little bit more of a personal level. And I think you are an inspiration in terms of starting in one place and just constantly learning, experimenting, challenging yourself, not feeling stuck. And I feel like that's an inspiration for people to really don't settle. You know, if you're doing something and it's no, not lighting you up, like move on, try
Yeah,
something else.
exactly. And we should touch on the article that I curate for Where Women Create.
Oh yeah, see, I'm so glad someone's paying attention today, Lori, because it's not
Well,
me.
it just popped into my brain.
I'm
So when
glad.
I spoke with Jo years ago on the podcast when she was editor, I did this publication. I did four issues of it. It was called Labor of Love. And I featured different artists, and I wanted to know, like, I feel like as an artist, a lot of times your whole environment, everything you do is inspired by your personal point of view, from your what you eat, how you entertain, what you wear, what your house looks
Yeah, it's
like,
not
all of
just
that.
confined to a
Yeah.
studio, right? Yeah.
So that magazine kind of was about that. And I self-published and realized, why am I doing this? It was a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So I told Joe that idea, and she said, "That's a great idea. Maybe we could do a feature in the magazine." So it's called An Artist Lives Here,
Lives here.
and it's been really a blast to feature some of my friends who, I'll go visit a friend and I'll be like, "Oh my God, your house is amazing," or "Your studio is amazing," or and then to connect them with you and then have them featured in the magazine. That's been really gratifying because a couple of my friends that's happened, it's been a dream of theirs to be in the magazine for
Oh, I love
years.
that.
And then for it to happen, and I was able to kind of make that connection. It's very, very, it's fun and gratifying.
Yeah, it's a beautiful idea that you and Joe have because it is so true. Like I said, you don't just a lot of artists, it's not just one little sweet little studio that they have. It's their living room and their dining room and their kitchen. And the artists that you've brought to us, their homes are stunning. And you can see their personality and their artwork and their design elements in every aspect of their homes. And it's amazing. I love
I
it.
know.
So it's a great feature. And I do appreciate you doing that as a curator. And that's in Where Women Create. So we try to do one per issue. We don't always find, I'd say we're doing maybe three a year now. We try to do four. It just kind of depends on the artist and their availability, but I really look forward to those
Yeah,
because it
but
makes me happy that they
some people that maybe didn't work out for that have worked out for this, they're showing
for
their
studios.
studio.
Yeah, some feel a little intimidated, I think, to sort of show their whole
Right,
world, their whole
right.
space, which I do understand. But yes, we've definitely been able to introduce us to several artists where we're able to feature their studios, if not their whole.
Well,
So,
I'll keep
yeah.
sending them your way.
Well, good. Please don't go away. I know you're busy, but we need you here, Lori. We need you. I
Constant researcher.
it. I love it. Don't ever stop.
Nope.
Well, thank you again for being with us today and for giving
Well,
us so much of your time. It's been a
hope I get
pleasure.
to see you like face to face, like in the flesh someday. We're
Someday.
making steps. We went from email
Yes.
now to
First
video on
step, it's like
Zoom.
we're on this dating plan. You know, first
Exactly.
we'll just email, maybe text,
Yeah. Okay. The next
Zoom
step.
call.
We have a date.
No, I would love to. I'm sort of making some plans to maybe head out east in the fall to attend a couple different shows. So
Oh,
I'll set my
fun.
steam on that, and we'll see if we can make something happen.
That'd be great. I love
Yeah.
it.
All right. Well, thanks
Thank
again.
you.
Enjoy the
Thank you so
rest of your
much.
afternoon, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
I hope so. You take care.
Thank you so much for joining us today for the World of Women Create podcast. As we close the studio door on today's episode, we hope you're walking away with a little more color and a lot more inspiration. The World of Women Create is ever evolving, and we are so grateful you're on this path with us. To stay connected between episodes, visit us at womencreate.com. Until next time.